Hello and welcome to the 90 Minute Cynic podcast. I'm your host, Chris Gallagher, and I'm joined by the Wolf, Christian Wolf.
All of those.
Bowd, the Bowd Master General, Bowdington Steel, the Bowdorama, Bowd.com, Chris Bowd.
Hello.
And Louis McCaffrey, the housewife's favourite.
Hello.
Great to have you all on board. Yes, it is. We're going to start by, apparently I've just been given into trouble because I promoted the live podcast before the actual podcast. Louis didn't think that was the way to do it. I get checked.
We struggle for announcements on this podcast. The one time we get one and yeah. You were a bit premature.
I was a bit premature. Well, not for the bloody first time. So, right, okay, right, enough. So, the 23rd of November, Celtic...
Where is Periscope when you need it?
23rd of November, the 90 Minute Cynic podcast will be hosting a live podcast from Sweeney's on the Park.
It's a live podcast from Sweeney's on the Park.
In front of a live audience.
Live, well, hopefully.
Well,
or our parents.
Few of our moms, yeah.
Yes. But yeah, so we'll
not
have...
Not even all our moms.
Okay. So it's Sweeney's on the Park, across the road from Goals, Five Aside on Pollock Shaw's Road, 23rd of November. Get involved. We'll be talking about various... Louis?
I was just going to say, I just passed Sweeney's on the way here tonight, and I had a wee quick look in the window, and it was just one man putting tunes on the jukebox. The place was dead, so I think it's our kind of place.
If that guy could stay, that would be terrific. We'll ask him to hang out. But no, get involved. We're going to promote it as the weeks go by, and promote it on social
media. Ticket prices?
It's free. So there you go.
There you go.
We'll definitely have.
If Christian tries to charge you on the night, it's free. Yeah. Just hit him.
We'll definitely have a versus for that episode. We'll get the crowd's interaction. Hopefully, we'll promote that. You know, coming up towards the time, and if anyone wants to come and ask questions and try to make us look stupid, bring it on.
Yeah,
bring it on.
We can try.
Absolutely.
We expect 5 to 7 people.
including the guy with the jukebox. So there you go. So we're going to start by, we'll start on a positive note.
Because it's all going to go downhill after that.
It's going to go downhill after that. We've got a lot of tweets, a lot of interaction on social media. Thanks for tweeting us. If you want to tweet us at any point, at 90 Minute Cynic. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/90MinuteCynic. And the website is also 90MinuteCynic.com. We've got interesting articles. Ian put a nice article up about Aston Villa this week, as did Martin with his four eyes. It was a Ronnie Dyla special. It was very popular. 90MinuteCynic.com. Check it out. So there's been a lot of talk and turmoil after the Molde game on Thursday, so we thought we'd focus with a positive, as I said a moment ago. Celtic, yesterday, that was Sunday the 25th, they played Dundee United. Celtic played Dundee United and they won pretty convincingly. Louis, what were your thoughts on the game?
Again, not much of a challenge posed by Dundee United, which was a shame because they seem to have regress so badly
since we took their best two players.
Absolutely, yeah. And then took another one and Shifty.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, it's a shame, you know. It's kind of sad to see because they were up there with Aberdeen a couple of seasons ago, and some of the youth players that they brought through, not only the ones that we pinched, but some of the other ones, you really thought as if, or certainly looked as if, at one point in time they had almost a team full of youngsters that were coming through, good Scottish talent, ready to break through and could be a really good period for the club, and yet it's kind of not happened and it's went backwards. But the game itself, Celtic were just totally dominant. Which they obviously kind of had to be after the Europa League game. But it was good to see. I was pleased to see young Tierney.
Young Tierney?
Yep. I did notice there was quite a few people using the phrase young Tierney on Twitter, and I wasn't part of that tweet, so that made me a bit sad, you know, try to pinch my paddle. But young Tierney.
I don't know how calling someone who's young.
No, I said young Tierney first.
Started
yep.
here.
Yep, absolutely. Young Tierney was brilliant, really the kind of star of the show. And it just makes me think, you know, he has to get a run the team. For me, ahead as a Geary. I think there's a kind of difficult run-in coming up, right enough. Run of games, both domestically and obviously the Europa League games. But I would like to see him. I would like to see him given the chance. I mean, he was given the chance against
Fenerbahce
in Europe. So why couldn't he play in Europe again? And certainly I think he's capable of playing in the league. Now, it's a different story, obviously, playing at Celtic Park in a game that you totally dominate. It wasn't tested defensively very much, but I think he offered so much yesterday that he absolutely deserves a chance.
It was almost maybe a blessing in disguise that he missed out in the Molde game, because if he had played that game and he'd been part of that team that has obviously had a wave of criticism, it might have affected him. So hindsight, looking back, maybe it's a positive. Celtic won 5-0. Griffiths scored, I think, just a terrific goal. Really, really great goal.
Someone said on Twitter it was Larson-esque, and you'd have to agree.
Absolutely, I can see where they're coming from with that. Boyata with a header, then Commons got two within the space of 8 minutes. One of them was a penalty.
Young Tierney earning it.
Absolutely. And then Scott Brown bursting forward and making someone score an own goal. He made the guy score an own goal, Chris, am I right?
Ronaldo-esque is how Sportsnet put it, and I'm not going to disagree with that.
You're talking about old school Ronaldo, though. You're not talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, you're talking about Luis Ronaldo.
Talking about some sort of Luis Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo love child.
Yep, and that's Scott Brown.
Yep.
Great stuff.
Christian, slightly more handsome.
What are your thoughts on the game? Any kind of comments you want to make?
No.
Okay, great. Moving on to...
I will say that since you touched upon it there, when Celtic, I think, lost 2-1 Boxing Day last season, had 5 games against United after that, won all 5 with 16-1 in goal difference, so that you can kind of see the trajectory there. And as United is going on and visualised through their thumping of by Celtic on just pretty much every time they meet now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking at that Dundee United team, it was a pathetic performance from them personally. I mean, you can only play the team that turn up to play against you ultimately. So Celtic did what they did. They did their business well. It was 5-0. Possibly could have been, 8 or 9, frankly, with the amount of possession we had, because we actually had 68% possession. Which is it's terrific for any game.
Joint highest this year.
Sorry?
Joint highest in the league this year.
Oh, really? Well, who was joint with who? Was it another Celtic performance? Or?
Well, of Celtics, yeah. Dundee at home.
Yeah, we had 23 shots. 12 of those were on target. We had 13 corners. Yeah, I mean...
At least Mixu held back in the post-match interview. Yeah, from what he really felt.
Yeah, because it was funny. If you're not going to fucking train, doing a fucking trainer. What were your
I like the way he took himself out of it as well. The formations don't matter, the tactics don't matter.
Who your coaches right. doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Definitely not my fault, is all I'm saying.
After the mould performance and the result, Celtic started with Chris Commons. Were you surprised, Chris Bowd?
No, actually I wasn't. I think that's it's classic Ronnie.
What?
People classic always shout to him and then he just forgives them.
Yes, no.
At home, at work.
Commons made the apology. Ronnie was a bigger man. Decided to play him, which may help get Commons back on sides. A lot of people, a lot of fans would have been shouting that, you need to discipline him or stop him playing for 2 games or whatever it is. But
take his pies away. Take his Greg's loyalty card away.
And when it hurts. But no, Ronnie's kind of shown himself to be a bigger man. He's came on, he's performed. And it makes it harder now for Commons to mouth off that he's, you know, not getting played when he should be getting played, that sort of thing. So hopefully.
Don't want to take Louise and Bowd's thing here, but
maybe but I'm going to.
Early question from Twitter from Buffalo Celtic. Is it possible to have a serious discussion about Chris Cummins without calling him fat / lazy / shite?
I'll take that.
We just did.
So, no. Obviously,
you have
I mean,
the appetite to field that question, Chris?
I do, yeah. I'm hungry for it. But no, I don't know what that means.
This is why we missed you, Bill.
Yeah. With comms, I mean, we obviously joke. He's obviously an athlete that, you know, can actually perform at a high level. He's performing at a high level as we speak. But I've said it before, and we've had many discussions about it. I just feel he's a really selfish footballer. I think Chris Commons cares about Chris Commons more than he does about Celtic. No denying he's got talent. And clearly, he showed it yesterday. And some of his stats are pretty phenomenal in terms of being an attacking midfielder. But to me, Chris Commons is out for himself. He's not in any way. At the start of the season, he mentioned how he wanted to be Celtic Scotland's Player of the Year again and stuff like that. You know, a lot of people would just be like, "Oh well, he's got a target that he wants to meet." But I find the guy. I just don't like him. In terms of how he performs on the pitch, and you know, tactically, I think that he's very selfish. And a lot of Celtic's problems at times, especially in Europe, when it comes to being counter-attacked on, if he's playing on the right-hand side, if you look at Lustig was completely exposed because he was getting absolutely no support. Stuart Armstrong isn't a wide left midfielder, but Stuart Armstrong supported Izaguirre as much as he could, and at times was further back than Izaguirre, tracking back. Chris Commons doesn't. He just drifts whatever he wants, and the reason we scored that goal in Molde is because he was out of position.
Right. It's a great goal, though. To be fair to Commons, that was an outstanding goal.
And this is the point.
I get your point.
I think he's got... I'm not denying his talent. I'm not denying his technical ability. But we scored that goal because he was out of position. Maybe we wouldn't have lost goals if he wasn't out of position. There you go. And he's fat. And he likes pies.
Can I take this a step back?
Okay.
This is what I like to call the Chris Cunningham...
Get I'll his name right for fuck's sake.
This is why I
take
like
another step back, Christian.
Have some more tea. This is what I like to call the Chris Cummins conundrum. So you can replicate this in a lot of clubs that's trying to do what Celtic is doing. So you have a manager who wants to play a certain system that fits a certain type of player better. But also in those clubs, and you can even replicate this maybe in Liverpool with Steven Gerrard and all that kind of things, where you have one, we call him a star player, who doesn't really fit the system. He's maybe getting a bit old, but he's a fan's favourite. As you say, he scored lots of goals, he's got lots of assists. So be able to either just get rid of him, which would cause a big controversy, and it's a big gamble because he is a guy who can get you out of a tough situation. Or try to integrate him into the system without then... Well, if you have him in your system, are you then just operating at 90% of your capability? So it's the choice. Do you take the hard choice and just look, go, he's probably one of our best creative players. He's too old. It just doesn't fit. Or do you just kind of compromise slightly and go 90% of the system, but you kind of keep kind of that luxury player there? And that's the kind of thing I think Ronnie Dallas had with Chris Cummins over 18 months now. And you can argue both ways on those kind of things, because he is a player that has qualities that nobody else in Celtic has, especially in those tight spaces, you know, the tight ball control. He can find a little bit of space, a terrific shot on him. He's cool in front of goals usually. And that's qualities that there isn't a lot of in the Celtic squad. And they're easily... you can see them easily. You know, he can easily make a case for himself. So look how good I am in front of the goals. Look how much I score. You can't deny that. The other case is harder to argue for, because then you're saying, I'd rather have a player, say, like GMS, who's not as flashy, who's maybe not as good technically, or show the stats. But over a season, if you play, for example, a GMS kind of player over the season, is Celtic going to be better off than if they play Chris Cummins over the season? And it's hard to weigh those up, and it's a hard discussion, but that's basically... There's no easy answers to.
Yeah, GMS, funnily enough, I actually thought had a good game yesterday. I think he's hopefully hitting form a wee bit, but coming back to what sort of form he had. Chris, what are your thoughts on that, as what Christian just said there about the Commons dilemma?
Lucky that Gordon Strachan isn't here, otherwise he would have chinned you for that too old chap.
He's younger than me, to be fair.
No, it's We've talked about it before. We talked about it when Ronnie first came in. We knew it might be an issue.
In January as well, talked about it.
Yeah. And it is. It's tough. Commons is one of the best players that Celtic have, if you look at him as a player and what he can do.
I mean, that the second goal yesterday, as Christian said, you know, there's only a few people probably in Scotland to get scored that goal.
Yeah. It is. It's a fantastic achievement, but he gets the ball in the box without really doing anything. You see what I mean? It's not something he's created or anything like that, but giving the ball in the box, put him in a position like that, he's great.
He's got a good dig on him.
Right.
Fantastic. And great control, cool head and all that. But then, is all that worth it for sacrificing, not only system-wise and on the pitch, but he's obviously not a good influence in the dressing room. No. I think that's pretty clear. No matter what, how they try to hide that and all the things that's leaking out. So you have to weigh those things up against each other. One set of fans will be quite clear and say, look, you're being stupid. You scored lots of goals. He's your best player. Of course you should play. It's harder to argue for the other side saying, look, over the long run, this is the best thing for Celtic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Just to kind of, I suppose, what I was going to say kind of backs up what the point Christian's making. I think it is easier for Commons to argue his side with the kind of obvious highlights of goals and maybe assists. Just purely judging by the reaction that I've heard from talking to Celtic fans and seeing on social media, was that from what it looked like for me, was that the majority of Celtic fans were more behind Chris Commons than they were Ronnie Dyla. I mean, Dyla got off the team bus. Celtic put this the video on YouTube, the players getting off the bus every home game. Dyla, like, hardly anybody was clapping or applauding when he got off the bus. And then Chris Commons came out and everybody shouting and cheering.
Hardly no players got an applause.
Eh?
No players got an applause except for Commons.
Apart from Commons, yeah. And then apparently when the stadium announcer was announcing the team, they announced Ronnie Dyla's name and there was boos. There was some people actually booing his name. I mean, just from that, though, that saddened me because it was... Very quickly, right away, people had taken sides. Celtic fans had taken sides against our manager and backing the player. And, you know, I think it's more probably to do with... Sadly, it's more to do with the fact that Commons has been at the club longer and people are more familiar with him than they are Dyla. I still think... I know it almost sounds like I'm trying to... I'm almost... Sounding like I'm trying to say some people are, it's almost like a racist thing, and that's not what I'm trying to say at all. But it seems to be like Dyla, people are still sitting on the fence with Dyla because he's not in Celtic zone, he's not played for the club, also, and all that type of thing.
He's also modern,
yeah,
he's modern, and he's not, you know, he maybe doesn't.
He wasn't a household name when he came to Celtic, but then,
and because of his all that things, a lot of people say, you know, he's a salesman. He just talks a good game. Like, you know, perception and things like that doesn't matter at all, even being a football manager. So I think it's all that rolled into one. I think but at least, to be fair, those are the kind of qualities that some fans get excited about and like Dyla because, but he also, it's a bit like Marmite because the other fans, that's what they really don't like about him. And then all these things comes out. You even have like journalists who go saying, oh, well, if they win against Dundee United on the Sunday, I hope he doesn't do that runny roar. Like, that's got anything to do with the performance and all that. It's just a vehicle just to then throw everything you don't like about him into the mix.
Yeah. I thought Tom English was particularly harsh.
I kind of like Tom English.
I'm a fan of him as well, and I usually quite like him, but I thought he was very petty in making wee snide comments.
Petty is a good word.
After that Molder game, I'm sure we'll come to that. But on the comments thing, for me personally, I just saw it as an absolutely impossible position that Dyla was put in. There was no way that he could win because if he doesn't play him, it continues on as I think Martin or Ian said in our group chat. You know, it rumbles on. But then if he plays him, he looks publicly like he is giving in to him. So it's difficult.
Can I spout? Like, okay, sorry, if you've got a point.
No, just this point, and I've seen a lot of people making it, oh, you're giving in to him. He's not a four-year-old child.
Yeah.
See, to be honest, he's did something wrong. He's been told to apologise. He's done it. And now you should move on. And just this whole attitude that so many people seem to have that you... I don't know.
It's a good point, though. Like, in any workplace, if you had a bust up, you'd imagine you apologise. It doesn't, like... Don't invite you to any meetings for 2 weeks or anything. And it is, but I think it's probably come back to that Ronnie has a certain style of management. And it's not really about public statements or playing the hard man or anything like that. It's all very, you know, pastoral in terms of teaching sense and doing it within the group. The question is, we said before as well, that works in Norway. But then again, it is a different kind of dressing room, you know, just in terms of youth and their social background. So do you go say, look, Ronnie, you have to adopt and just tell him to get the fuck? Or does Ronnie try and, well, this is his style, so he's going to do that? Is it to his detriment or not? I'm a bit on the fence. I'm not really sure. If you're striking the right balance or what the right balance actually is.
There is, to an extent, a sort of comparison we could draw, and I made this point on Friday, with Paul Le Guin and Barry Ferguson.
Yes.
Obviously, Paul Le Guin dropped Ferguson and basically came out and said, you know, he's not getting in my team anytime soon, which a lot of people saw as a strong statement of intent. And then they sacked him. Not long after that, Ferguson got David Murray's ear, and Le Guin was away. So, you know, I mean, that's another sort of a manager from, you know, with European pedigree coming into Scotland, trying to change the club from the bottom up. You know, a well-respected manager. I remember when Rangers got Paul Le Guin as manager, I was like, shit, we're in trouble here. And only a club like Rangers can actually drive one of the greatest coaches in Europe at that point out of the fucking club and choose Barry Ferguson instead.
I think Le Guin is the perfect example, because a lot of people, when Ronnie had the bad start, said, oh, Celtic have got to Le Guin now. And in a sense, I would like to say, yes, they have. Because I think while there was dodgy results in the league for those first 6 months for Rangers, I remember the European games were actually really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, 6 months, he was trying to do something that Ronnie was doing as well. And I think if they've chosen Paul Le Guin over Barry Ferguson, that future of that club might have looked very differently.
Yeah.
That doesn't make, you know, doesn't guarantee that Paul Le Guin would have been a success, even if like go, doesn't that guarantee that Ronnie's going to be ultimately a success. But I think the similarities is almost eerie.
Let me ask you, the three of you, and I'll start with you, Lewis. Lewis? Lewis? Louis.
Call me worse.
Do you think Ronnie's handled it correctly? The way he's done it, the way it's happened, the way it's been done, yes or no?
Yes, because I think from his point of view, he'll be pretty satisfied, because I suppose, lucky for him, they won 5-0, Common scored 2 goals, although I hope and I pray and I think that Diala would have went, as soon as Common's banged in those goals, especially that second one, I bet you Diala under his breath went, tick. I mean, I hope he did. But anyway, I think he'll be pretty pleased with the outcome, because he scored 2 goals, they won 5-0. The Commons thing is petering out, no matter how maybe some elements in the media try and make it rumble on. It's more or less petering out, and they can get on with things, and they can focus on the positive.
Chris?
Yeah, I think it was the right decision. Talking about the media dragging it out, the 90 Minutes in, it ran a poll. Who would you rather be hugged by? Okay. Ronnie Dyler or Chris Commons?
We're
113 votes.
We're looking for
the drum roll.
The drum roll, go on. What's the crack?
It was a resounding victory for Ronnie Dyler at 83%.
Hello there. How many times did everyone vote?
You can only vote once.
Oh yeah.
I tried more. So
is the poll thing something we're going to do regularly?
Oh, every week. As we did Periscope every week.
So. Yep. And yeah. How's the...
We'll do it for a couple of weeks. Don't even mention the Instagram.
The flip board.
Just to point out, though, that we have done a poll a couple of polls on the Twitter, and you can select, obviously, each option, but it's only available on the official Twitter app.
It's not only for 24 hours, so we're going to do it
only for 24 hours. It's not been rolled out for other apps yet, although I think Twitter are going to be doing that.
I think they are, yeah.
So if you're using the official Twitter app, you'll see what we mean. Otherwise, it's just going to appear as a question on your Twitter feed.
Chris Bowd, is that any other comments about that? Because we're going to move on from this.
Yeah,
because
we had a few. Bring it down a little bit. Lighten the tone. Neely G is asking who would win the biscuit eating contest, Chris Commons or a 90 Minute Cynic team member?
Oh, Jesus, this is unbelievable.
I think it depends which team member, to be honest.
It's some pretty posh biscuits on the go here.
Yeah, Collins would be more fucking jabby.
I don't know, he's got a lot of money.
He's a high earner. Yeah, he's just a posh biscuit.
Listen.
The richness of the biscuits. But
maybe he's keeping it real.
Collins off. Don't worry about that.
Don't worry. I'm not actually worrying about that.
You seem concerned.
I don't know. There's something about the way Christian dominates a biscuit, and I've seen it so many times.
To be fair, those ones.
Free Norway, he's just eating fermented shark skin that's been buried for 7 months. Biscuits.
That's just in kindergarten.
Wolf it down. I'll say that again. It'll wolf it down.
Oh, nice.
It also depends on what biscuit, though.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm not feeling them ones tonight, Christian. See the fruit and oat ones?
They were disgusting. Last week. I had to finish the fruit and oat ones and over the week.
Listen,
with some tea. And I just actually just put as much tea in my mouth as I could, get it dissolved.
I've got big pockets, pal. Any more fruit note?
Sir Manny. I mean, come on. That guy loves a biscuit.
Mince pies last week. Mince pies.
Mince pies.
Talks into the Giribaldis as well.
He does. Christian, we're finishing up this because we're going to get to the Mulder sort of point of view.
Oh, what? Have we even spoke about the game? Can I make a point?
We're going to finish
it. Oh, Dundee United.
I know. We're going to finish up talking about Dundee United. Christian, did he handle yesterday well in terms of comments?
I think he handled it true to himself, if you want to say. He handled in the runny way. If that's the correct decision, we'll see. I think he was, in terms of a short term, I think he managed to put a lid on it, just also because, you know, Comas got a couple of goals, so he was happy. He hugged Ronnie on the way out, so everybody's happy. If this will rear his big head again, it might do, because I don't think it's been fully resolved in the long term. If we get another shaky bit at some point, you know, it might come up again. So
it's always going to be
long term. You don't know.
It's always going to be an albatross around his neck, isn't it?
Albatross.
And by the way, if there was a Bombay mix eating contest between Chris Commons and Louis, Louis would win by quite a distance. You've rifled through the Bombay mix. Here's another thing. If you want to give us suggestions for snacks while we are recording the podcast, vegan friendly, if we could.
Ideally.
Just for Bowd, but if it's not vegan friendly, it's more for us. Can I say something?
Yeah, about the game, yeah.
Oh, I was going to stay in the snack chat. No, I was going to say something, but I can't remember.
World Health Organization.
Wouldn't it have been nice if...
fuck your bacon.
I would have maybe liked to have, just maybe in my own head, right enough, it wouldn't have been great for PR or Ronnie Dyla, but if it had just went to like a Thug Life video in the Mulder game and Ronnie just stuck the nut on Commons, told him to sit down.
Well, he shat it for Ronnie, didn't he?
Who, Commons?
Aye.
Aye, ran away. But can't believe Collins with all them press-ups didn't do anything. He just sat there like a wee...
But again, what is he supposed to do? An assistant manager of Celtic to start arguing in the stand with a Celtic player?
That's what I'm saying, I would have liked to have seen.
Why?
Remember to keep your dignity. Decorum,
class, dignity. You wear that Celtic jersey, and that's where Collins was out of line. Collins...
Decorum, class. Oh, you call him as fat? You're trying to preach to me?
Aye, but I'm not a part of the fucking... staff?
Yeah, body fascist.
Okay, Bow, you got a point?
Yeah, well, there was two questions about Commons I was going to touch on from Twitter, but more importantly, I've just got a tweet in from Stevie Mick at Ginzy69. Who's the baldy infiltrator? I'm this fucking show, Stevie Mick, alright? Shut your gob.
Oh, Bow's genuinely offended, like.
It's quite a Larry David
I'm
moment.
Hungover,
this
so
is really bad for the bald community.
Remember, we've just advertised the fact that we're doing a live podcast, Bow.
Come on down, Stevie Mick.
I'll be wearing a hat.
I will say about the Dundee United game, I was impressed with Jozo.
Big Jozo.
I thought he looked good. Again, it's only one game, and as you say, Louis, there wasn't a lot of competition in terms of pressure from Dundee United.
That dig though.
Oof. Hello.
Oof.
Van Dijk-esque.
That's exactly what
did
it
you
is,
know? Think a couple better. Of times striding it like a gazelle into the midfield, like Virgil Van Dijk slash Boomsong slash Bugera.
Oh, no,
I might jump the gun here, but our defensive problems are solved.
Over.
If he turns out to you're be anyone in also.
Christian, we're going to have to get you to defend Johansson from the Molde game. Certainly.
Oh, no problem. Fantastic game.
Johansson was sitting in the two with Brown yesterday, and we had Commons, Armstrong, Mackay, Stephen. I thought Armstrong had a really good game. I thought he was quite influential. I thought he did he had what one, maybe two assists. He had one assist from a corner anyway. He's starting to look getting back to, you know, his old self. Same with Mackay, Stephen. Johansson, a bit shite, isn't it?
You think?
Aye.
Yeah, no, he's obviously not in a very good place at the moment. A bit like Bowd after a night on the town.
Two nights ago.
No, I mean, I think yesterday wasn't a non-event, really, in terms of that. I don't think he did anything too noticeable, but nothing the other way in a negative sign either. And I think in Mulder, he was as shite as everybody else. I don't think he was shiter, but he wasn't less shite either. So there was a lot of shiteness going on Thursday. But yeah, it's a tough one. You know, there's all these things about, you know, he's plagued by an injury, he's not there. There's stuff about, you know, there's dressing room tension. All his pals are gone. I honestly don't know.
Can I make one point as well, though? The crowd are starting to get on his back.
Which is...
And this can link into the Commons thing, because yeah, obviously they two are vying for that same position.
That's what we kind of... Yeah. That's kind of the rumours about as well. But... And that's why I know some modern fans, and I see this with Liverpool all the time, like you get one player, he's got a bad run, and then suddenly he's like, you know, Hitler or something. It's just absolutely ridiculous in terms of the amount of negativity. And maybe like Samani says, it's because you expect better of him. But it was a player who gave...
You're talking about a guy with a hate list.
But yeah, it's a player you maybe you're more disappointed in, and I get that. As a player who played his hearts out for Celtic all last season, was the best player in Scotland, I think, and he ran himself into the ground in every single game for it, and he's having a really bad season. Oh, well, a bad one, at least. He's being a little bit petulant. It's not really going for him, but to turn on a player that much that quickly doesn't reflect well on that section of the fans, in my opinion.
Yeah, which seems to be quite a big section of the fans, which is disappointing in my mind. You know, I don't think Johansson's obviously playing well. I think he's been very, very disappointing the entire season. But I want him to be successful. That's what I don't understand. There's a lot of negativity toward... I'm not a Chris Commons fan, but I want Chris Commons to score in every game. If Chris Commons plays, I want him to play well. I would never understand someone who would want a Celtic player to play bad. And I know we joke and we wind up, but we want Commons to be successful if he's playing. We want that 11 out there to be successful.
Big fans.
But there seems to be a certain element who almost want their point proven, and therefore it's better for them if someone plays poorly. It seems like you've got a point.
I've got a point I would like to raise with the panel. Get your thoughts, you know. I was going to tweet in. I don't think we get the best out of Johansson or Commons when both of them are on the pitch at the one time. I just don't think so. And I think when... listen, I know you're going to hit me with some stats, Christian, right?
I'm going to hit you with stats.
But you're going to have to wait.
Chris Commons hardly ever score when Stefan Johansson is not on the pitch.
Until I need to dig a bigger hole for myself. Wait. I think the times the best performances Celtic have had under Ronnie Dyla was when Johansson was the middle of the front three,
yeah,
with Brown and Beaton behind him, and Commons was not on the pitch. For me, that was Celtic's best formation. That's when we looked more like as close to the team or the style that Dyla keeps talking about.
Gary McKay, Stephen and Stuart Armstrong.
Yep, or
James Forrest.
Or even Forrest there. But I think that was when we saw the best of this Celtic team. And I don't think Johansson likes playing with Commons because Commons is a magnet for the ball a lot of the time, and he just doesn't get to play in the same role. And I feel as if the two of them get in the way of each other. And I was kind of, fair enough, Beaton didn't play at the Dundee United game, but I was a wee bit worried when I seen Johansson going back, because it just looked to me like that's the way it's going to be. Commons has got that position now. You'll be the one that moves. Now, fair enough, Johansson's form hasn't been great, but if you know the position where he's delivered his best form with the other players around him, I don't understand why we can't go back to that for a couple of games and see what happens.
He's poor
because it really worked before.
When he sits with Brown, he's usually pretty poor. He can't play that position. He is that number 10.
Which is strange though, because
he's got all the attributes to play it.
Because it's more like the role he played with Strømskos, and it is exactly the role he plays with Norway.
We're not talking about your Mickey Mouse bloody Norwegian league.
We're hard in Scotland.
Two-team in the Europa League, yeah. So.
But then, if you think about it, though, Beaton doesn't press high up the pitch, which is what Johansson is good at and what he probably wants to do. Now, if you're playing alongside Brown, that's not the same role. He's not going to be afforded the chance to go that high up the pitch and do what he wants to do and what I think he's probably best at. So he's got to be more reserved. And clearly, when he's trying to kind of be more reserved in that way, he kind of fades.
It kind of comes to as well, because if you want to be a slave to the system and play a really high pressing game, your front three is probably Armstrong, Johansson, GMS, because they'll do that and they have the legs and they'll do it.
Yeah,
you might lack then a little bit of creativity, maybe on the flanks and in terms of being clinical in front of goals. But so I think that is the balance in terms of what you go for. Ideally, you want somebody who can do both, but since we're not Barcelona, we don't.
Yeah.
We've actually just did a tweet in
on
this very subject.
Go on.
To it. Izagiri fanboy. Don't know about that. Cameron Simpson.
That's his name. You can't question the guy's Twitter handle.
I can, and I have. Speak to... chapters about how you change your Twitter handle, please, at NUFC Monkey. Do we need to reward Rogic's good performances in the domestic campaign by a shot at the Europa League, i.e. drop Stefan? Sorry, Wolfman.
Big fan of people call me Wolfman, so that's fine.
I think he's probably earned it in terms of his performance domestically.
Classy when he came on at the weekend.
Yeah, as I said, we said last week, the way the ball sticks to his feet,
he looks classy walking down the street.
Yeah.
Looks like a nice guy too.
Oh Jesus Christ, Lee with a nice guy. His terrible hair. His hair game is
he doesn't
really
tweet hate. Much.
Oh, I know.
His third last tweet was from the Commonwealth Games.
Oh, fuck off. Let's have some interaction. Let's have some social.
We need to get him up the old Shawlands. We'll get him tweeting, get him a good
Sweeney's on the 23rd, Tom.
In all seriousness though, I think
full package.
I think Rogic deserves a chance in Europe. But then again, he probably won't get it because you're probably going to play Commons in most games and Gary Mackay-Steven / Forrest with Stuart Armstrong. So he deserves it, but whether he'll get it's a different kettle of fish.
I don't think he should probably start, but certainly come on as he has done. I think coming on, like he came on at the weekend, right away you could see that he had the energy levels, albeit he didn't have to really travel about the pitch very much, but he was on his toes and very sharp.
He knows Celtic Park, because that's where he's played, that's where he started most games.
He's been a few times. Yeah,
yeah, the place, we're playing Molde, who... Molde, who, in my opinion, actually didn't do anything against Celtic. They literally... Celtic beat themselves.
Oh, Pantolins.
You know what I mean? It was the Celtic's... invited their team to beat them, so I don't.
Norwegians.
Yeah. I don't think. Oh, get defensive for the first time. No, but they're a very ordinary side. Don't get me wrong. They will still. They'll cause us problems, but we should be beating them at home. And I think Tom Rogic, that would be the perfect time to actually start him.
Can I ask Christian? Young, yes, Christian. There we go. can tweet that one. Just with it, I'm sure we'll probably talk about the whole flack that Dallas had when we go over the Mulder game. Mulder. But see, in general, there seemed obviously such a backlash, people really getting on his back and really kind of a lot of people calling for him to go. I remember you saying kind of in the early days of Dyla at Celtic that his ideal formation would be a 4-3-3. And we've never seen it, never really seen it. Do you think we're likely to see it? And if, you know, if the pressure is ramped up a wee bit, will we ever just see him kind of almost throw caution to the wind that way and go, right, okay, I'm going to... Because as you said in a wonderfully titled article, is it time to go full dial, available at 90minutescynic.com /Hunter's the other stuff. Would that be a chance for him to go full dial if we got to see a 4-3-3, and is it likely?
Well, the difference is probably also quite subtle. But yeah, in Strømskots, he did play 4-2-3-1 at some points. It was a more classical 4-3-3. But then again, that is a very common lineup in a way. It is always have been. It's probably still the most prevalent in terms of 4-3-3. You kind of seen it in somewhere like the Ajax game away. I think you kind of saw more of a 4-3-3 with Johansson sitting behind. So yeah, I just then wonder then if you do that 4-3-3, you're going to have your fullbacks needs to be really, really even more offensive. So we're talking, you know, if you had somebody like Tierney and Janko, that would be full dial in terms of up and down, and maybe combine that with GMS and Stuart Armstrong. But then again, Stuart Armstrong in a more classic tree, and the front line is maybe not the best fit either. So I would like maybe see a midfield of, say, maybe your most classic 4-3-3 midfield would be something like Johansson, Armstrong, Brown, even. Maybe even Bitton instead of Brown. But something like that would be interesting. But then the reason why you maybe haven't done the 4-3-3 is, I think, is the wide players. Because someone like Forrest, I think, will fit there. I think he kind of, what we've done in Strømskots so often is have more of a bigger player in the mid three and forward. So he had a tweet, you know, that he put in this giant Hungarian striker just before the 2012 season. He was 34 years old, 6'7", Peter Kovacs. And he played him in the middle and who can kind of link it in and be that big presence while the two other guys on the side of him were more, almost one was an attacker, a second striker, and another one was as a winger. So if you're thinking about that, you probably have, say, for example, Griffiths, Cole, Forrest, which doesn't sound too promising. But I think it's more a personnel thing. But I am surprised he hasn't done it more. Because, and at least then maybe, I thought maybe when he brought in Armstrong and especially GMS, that would maybe be a way of doing that. But yeah, it's an interesting question why he hasn't done it more.
Yeah, good for you.
Thanks.
I'm happy with that. Got any Twitter?
Yes. Well, there was a couple, as I said, before you moved on, when I had mentioned that two questions about Commons.
All right.
We're back at the Mould game. That's fine.
I was disappointed. No, but a couple. One, Stephen Hughes, just asking if we think there's a significance to the fact that Commons ranted at John Collins and Kennedy rather than Ronnie. Do you think he's got a particular beef with them?
Because he knows what's good for him. He knows what's good for him.
Scared that they're on?
I think it's more a case of... I think it was kind of interpreted that when Commons was putting the four fingers up, he wasn't joining the four horsemen. He was basically making a comment that there was four defenders on the pitch. And I think he was making the comment, like, why the fuck do we need so many defenders? Because you need fucking balance, you moron. You fucking... Do you want to lose another goal? Is that what you're saying? Go back to the 1970s, all right? I don't know what that was. the point being, though, I think that was maybe the beef he had. And, you know, again, maybe he... Is it more or less disrespectful to do what he did if you did it with the manager? It's probably more disrespectful if he'd done it right on the sideline, right in front of the manager. So he's not even fully committing to slagging somebody off. It'd be funny.
Anything to add to that, Christian?
Well, if we want to do the whole we kind of touched upon it as well with comments in terms of the position in the squad and what's happening. Again, a lot of people said, oh yes, it shows how passionate he is about winning and all that. And I'm happy to, you know, accept that Chris Commons is a really good player, and it's I think there's arguments there for playing him, even although I'm more about, you know, I'd rather prefer the system. But what I did on first day to try and make him into some sort of marcher, it's just, I mean, come on, give me a break. That was a pathetic thing to
some of the comments is from like Chris Sutton and stuff.
Because who he is in terms of, it's not some young lad who's had a bad game or, you know, inexperienced. He's one of the most experienced players in the team. He's been at the club for a long time. It wasn't about the team. It was about him going off, pointing to the fans, saying, oh, yeah. And it's, in terms of that, showed me a lot about, there's one way to get mad, and you can kind of get that. I think it quite, for me, illustrated what his motive was about it. That's why I almost can't really warm to him in terms of the arguments about him playing, because you see something like that and that, no way was that about the team, about the fans. I want to give to, fuck off. He did that for himself, Chris Cummins.
Did you see his reaction when he came off, as if to say, me? Why are you taking me off? What? Excuse me? What? It's like, well, you know, no, you don't have a God-given right to play in this team. If the manager makes a decision.
Yeah, well, you know, go mad, just sit down and stare on the ground and look grumpy and kick the back of the seat, fine, but don't go there.
Yeah, speak to the manager after.
And it's like, well, sorry, it's like what Bowd said earlier. He was being a petulant kid. That's not how you show your dissatisfaction. Even, you know, in a football pitch full of adrenaline, you just, it's a sign of immaturity, and I thought it was pathetic.
Bowd.
I was just going to say, I mean, personally, there are other players that I might have taken off, but frankly, Commons had a terrible game.
Correct. Terrible. That's what everybody keeps forgetting. Correct.
Kapow.
Kapow. Boom. Pachow. And he scored the goal because he was out of position. So,
very good.
Because he doesn't like the system.
But again, I mean, he scores the goal.
And that's why he looks like it's such a bad game.
A bad pass from a Malta defender on the 16-yard box. It's a fantastic finish. I'm not saying that. It's same as the goal at the Dundee United. He kind of ends up with the ball because of his own not wayward corner, but he's got clear to him. And he does what he does. But it's not like he created that, or
the guy passed it to his feet. Anyway, Chris, more questions on Twitter.
Yes, F at 226 blog for fancy stats.
what's it, Zed?
fancy stats. We've already talked about how Ronnie handled the common situation, but what he's asking is, can we contrast that to what a stereotypical British gaffer might have done,
or Paolo Di Canio?
Well, that's a point. Paolo Di Canio would have crucified him, frankly, on thingy. I guess what Seth's getting at is maybe the kind of old stereotypical football manager would have, you know, wouldn't have taken it and would have, you know, berated him and shouted back. But I think Ronnie handled himself with class and dignity, and he did what he had to do. Let Commons make an ass of himself, because he did. And see, the people who are picking up and taking Commons out of that as being some sort of fucking hero, then they're deluded, because he embarrassed himself, he embarrassed the club, and he should be fined. I think he should be fined for it. But whether that will happen internally, whether we would find out about that, I do, Christian. I think he made... I'm not saying get rid of him or sack him or anything like that, because as I said, the guy does have qualities. But sometimes you have to make a sacrifice.
Yeah. And I think, of course, I think we feel like Ronnie handled it correctly with dignity and all those kind of things. But there is another side to that, is the perception of Ronnie. And this is, you know, this is still a very Scottish environment in terms of the media and the fans and everything as well. So in the long run, you still can't see if it's the right thing. If it's the right thing in terms of his philosophy and his style and his beliefs, so that in a way that's fair enough. If it's the right thing in going forward, he probably could have got some, you know, short-term kudos booting him out. But it's just not who he is, and that's, you know, you take him or you leave him, right?
Yeah,
basically,
well,
Ronnie.
I don't think he should be changing his philosophy or anything like that. And you know, if it does cost him, then we clearly weren't fully ready for a Ronnie. Bowd, any more questions?
I just seen one from Stuart McPhee. So I was trying to get Christian to intimate to me whether or not the answer was going to be interesting, but no, he's just pointing a lot.
Might not be interesting, but it'll be bloody long.
So, yep.
Stupor, I can promise you that.
Stupor Mullet's asking...
Pod Kettle Black.
Has Ronnie experienced a similar bus stop in Norway, and how did he deal with it?
A yes or no, Christian, please. Don't be around for the next
140 characters.
Oh, if it's a yes, we want to know how he dealt with
it. Oh, I'm only joking. 140 you characters, down? Pal. What Simmer. Are you doing? Who's the out-of-towner here, eh, mister?
The intro.
No. This is not a public one like that.
good, quick answer.
138 characters left.
Emrod at Emrod lives. Is it time for Dyla to drop Scott Brown, a central possession? He wins.
It's a great question to ask you, Bald.
Yeah. Same again. The answer is no. Let's move on, Emrod.
No, come on. Scott Brown has his performance against Molde was really, really poor, as was a lot of the thingy. But he does give the ball away a lot. Over this season, he's given the ball away statistically more than anyone else.
Like Johansson have had a shit season. I'm not going to deny that. Scott Brown has had just a shit season as Stefan Johansson, and fair enough, because Scott Brown has a lot of credit in the bank, so you can understand why the fans isn't turning him in the same way, because the perception is maybe that whereas Johansson doesn't want it, Scott Brown always wants the best for Celtic, even though I think both wants that. He's had just as bad a season as Johansson.
Yeah, I also, in terms of, I think there was a question I seen earlier about, you know, other than Brownie, what leaders do we have?
Yep.
Is Scott Brown showing leadership qualities?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I am a fan of him. We joke, we have fun, but he's not in the best of form just now. But he does bring a certain thing. He brings certain skills that other people can't.
That's right. Part of the reason that he gives the ball away, and I'm not he has been slack in possession a lot. But a lot of that is also the fact that he'll run and he'll get possession out of nowhere, and he's then in a difficult position. He's therefore more likely to...
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just build-up play when he gives the ball away.
It'd be all right if he get tackled, but he passes it to the other team. That's the thing that's just strange.
I think you make a good
Ronaldo-esque
point, Christian, about him having enough in the bank, because if it was any other player, then he probably would be getting more heavily criticised. And I understand, it's just, you know, form, because last season we saw how good a player he can be, and Ronnie was getting the best out of him. But I don't know if... Has he shown leadership qualities?
Well, the whole...
I think...
Should he be standing up in regards to this whole common situation as well?
Yeah.
And there's rumours about Scott Brown's position in that as well, which is just rumours, and so there's no point really speculating in them, even though we are. But it does show on Thursday, I think there was a distinct lack of leadership on the pitch. There was nobody really taking about the scruff of them.
Malmo
as well. And I, on Twitter, I pointed out, I thought it was Commons, Brown, Nisagiri, and people going, oh, what about Johansson? You haven't put in Johansson in because he's Norwegian. Basically. And then fair enough, Johansson is, I know he's player of the year last year, but he's been on the club for 18 months. About, and he's 24, so whether he's one of the senior players who should really grab the team of the scruff of the neck yet, I'm not so sure.
You have to admit, though, our expectations of Johansson because of how well he's played.
Exactly.
You know, they're up there. Chris, any other interesting questions? Louis, let's just... The Dundee United game played well, wasn't the greatest opposition, so therefore, you know, we don't want to dwell on it too much because it wasn't in any way a sort of a test. But the Molde game...
Molde.
Conditions were brutal.
Oh, horrible.
Absolutely.
West Coast of Norway, pal.
Yeah, look at this. Arrogan lying back, hands in his hips, you know.
No, fisherman's weather.
The conditions were terrible. Azeguira was brought back in from a European...
He was terrible.
he was shocking.
I don't think there was a person on the pitch that wasn't terrible.
Ambrose now. Ambrose was bad, but Ambrose wasn't.
Well, I guess it's all relative.
Ambrose, again,
like the Johansson, he has set his bar high.
Yeah, FS set it very low. so it wasn't too far away from his bar.
Before we actually kind of break down what we thought of the game, I think there's a level of Celtic fan who, when it comes to European football, they've maybe only really been involved since like the Martin O'Neill era, and therefore they have this perception that Celtic should just
Dominate.
And teams like Molde and Malmo, who, you know, they're not Italian or German and therefore will wipe the floor with them. That's not how European football works. I mean, you know, during the week, Fiorentina lost to Lech Poznan in Florence. Now, are they having the same sort of go at their manager? Are they, because they're top of the league. No, Roma are now top of the league. But my point is, though, are they dissecting everything that's happened over the season because of one match?
I think the problem is, it's the problem for a lot of fans is maybe having two thoughts in the head at the same time. Having this discussion in terms of where Celtic's place in Europe will be, by many people, be seen as you're just excusing what happened on Thursday. I think we're able to have those two discussions at the same time. First, it was absolute shite, and everybody involved deserved criticism. But as you say, even, you know, Molde and Malmö are teams from a country whose coefficient is now higher than Scotland's. That doesn't mean that Celtic shouldn't be beating them, because Celtic can then have more resources. But they're not like some Muppet team from, okay, some Muppet country, I'm not going to say, because I'll offend that Muppet country. You know, they're professional footballers. A lot of them might go on to play at better clubs than Celtic within the next couple of years. So there's not, you can have, I think the thing is to have those two conversations at the same time without people thinking you're having one just to excuse the other.
Yeah, we're absolutely not. I mean, the performance was, as you say, Bowed. Would anyone get past Marks?
I'd struggle. Even Gordon, who's
especially Gordon.
I know, Ed. Yeah. Gordon was, that first goal, I don't know what the fuck he was getting. His angle's all wrong.
Since I'm usually Seth Dobson's vehicle for stats there, and Seth has pointed out on Twitter that Craig Gordon has something like a 45% save rate in Europe, and the norm is 70. So, and you can kind of, I seen the first goal against Mulder was atrocious from Gordon.
Yeah,
as a former goalkeeper, that's the kind of mistakes that are even worse than some sort of clanger, because it just does every single thing wrong in terms of goalkeeping technique.
The finish, he literally rolls it into the net. It's not even as if he like hits it hard or beats him fast.
All his
shot.
Weight is on. Is on his heels. He doesn't react properly. He just sits down. He's not really positioned properly. And save me that stuff about, oh, his near post. It's nothing to do with that. It's just a really bad goalkeeping.
Yeah. Anyone for you, Bowd, would get past Marks? Coming in and saying, Luke, calm down.
Trying to think, but really, as you said, Effie wasn't as bad as you would expect.
Ezaguirre
was awful.
I'm a Lustig fan.
Lustig had a horrible game. That's the worst I've seen him.
You're just saying names, mate.
Look up the rundown.
No, I'm just thinking, could you? I just don't know if he had enough, he was given enough to.
I mean, but just even the Lustig and his crosses. I mean, atrocious. All over the place.
Louis?
Probably the one person who get pass marks for me would be Young Tierney. Because he wasn't playing, and Ezaguirre was that dog shit.
Yeah,
he was. So Young Tierney. But yeah, awful. Awful game. You know, the result, I think often we look at the result and people look at the result and judge it by that. But I was almost pleased is the wrong word, but I was almost encouraged to see that people were that annoyed and that disappointed, and the players and the manager realised that they were that annoyed based on the performance, because at least people recognised, you know, they weren't just going off the result. The whole performance was terrible, and at least everybody is absolutely agreed that that cannot happen again. That was just awful.
This is the worrying thing, because the last first 5-10 minutes, you can see what they were trying to do, and they were controlling the game, they were rolling up, had almost a couple of chances. As soon as the first goal went in, it's the same as the Malmö thing again, it's just total collapse, which for me is the most worrying thing. You can have a bad game, but they happen almost in the same way as the Malmö game.
When we conceded that goal...
It was a sucker punch.
It was a sucker punch, but see, when we conceded it, I knew in my heart of hearts that we were only winning it. Or maybe I thought to myself, we could maybe sneak a draw if we don't concede again. Ah, shit. And then when we scored, And then to concede a goal within 46, I mean, that's amateur hour stuff. That's really basic.
But mentally, it's tougher than having a minute where you go from 2-0 to 3-1. You're actually in the worst position in terms of mentally after that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry.
And just to even if you think about it from the game plan that Molde, obviously what they kind of executed was just so basic. Yeah. It was like, sit, have two banks of four, pretty much every man behind the ball, and then wait for your opportunity to break.
They should have, I mean, that's what they did in Fenerbahce, and they beat them 3-1 away, but they did this exact same thing.
So we should have known what was coming. Absolutely. I mean, we should have been.
And they did execute it well. I was talking about El Yunusi before, you know, before the game, and his run and his pass for the first one is really good, and he scores the third. But you knew they were playing. He did the same thing against Fenerbahce. So,
but the thing is, it's not as if, you know, teams who play that way should be easier for Celtic to play against and perform against, because it's what we're used to domestically.
But teams, I do think Molde is a better counter-attacking team than probably anything they'll meet.
Of course, of course. But I mean, from a point of view of having the ball, can it, in the opposition half, with a packed-out defence, pretty much every opposition player behind the ball or there or thereabouts, we should be used to controlling that space, controlling our own formation and the use of that space, and be bright enough that if the ball breaks and they manage to get it back, we should already have a defensive plan in place that certain players drop back. There should be a plan right away. And that's the thing. It looks so, almost so gung-ho. You know, players were just left to their own devices. There was no kind of solid structural plan there for when we don't have the ball.
I think there's two things to that in terms of, one, that Molde is a better team, as I said, on the counter attack than most, probably a better team than most of the teams Celtic will meet in the Scottish League. So there's less, you know, when Celtic does the same thing in Scotland, they have more of a, you know, they can do more mistakes before they're punished for it. And the second one, I think, is mentally, that they just didn't show up. So you just can't get away with that in terms of, so it's worrying just in terms of Molde's about the opposition, but also that Celtic just didn't perform in terms of the mental aspect.
Something we've brought up a number of times, and Christian, you brought it up last week as well, just from a personnel point of view. I think what you mentioned, it was like the 17th change, defensive change at the back.
Although they had played this back four once before, but yeah, they've had 17 now in 22, I think.
I think what one of the big things people were bringing up regarding Ronny Dyla was the fact that he keeps picking players who aren't performing. So he keeps picking Effie Ambrose and he keeps picking Izaguirre.
But what choice does he have just now, though?
No, I'm raising the point that they're saying. But the same people who say that sort of thing are the same people who will defend Izaguirre. I don't understand. Look, Izaguirre clearly has qualities, but Izaguirre shouldn't be playing for Celtic anymore. I do not think the guy's good enough. I'd rather young Tierney was making those mistakes and learning from them at 18 than a 28-year-old international who's played at World Cups, who doesn't know when to go forward, when to go. He just runs up the park, and that's my point as well. Like Armstrong hasn't been able to develop and play the wants because he's got to cover for Izaguirre. Commons doesn't cover for Lustig, and Lustig is one of his worst games ever. I'm not saying that, you know, that's just neither here nor there.
Not that you like Stuart Armstrong better than Chris Cummins.
No, but the point is, you're going to get more effective. Celtic's fullbacks being Izaguirre and Ambrose, just not good enough. Just absolutely not.
No, but Kenty makes a good point on Twitter, just saying that young Tierney's performance was outstanding yesterday. However, the run of games we've got coming up might be a bit too much for him, because we've got Hearts on Wednesday in the Cup, Aberdeen Saturday, then we've got the European game, Ross County, Kilmarnock, blah, blah, blah. But three games. Is that too much?
When you play pre-season matches, you play friendly matches, the whole point of those games, fair enough, nothing really matters. It's not a competitive fixture. But you practice. So you test your system, you practice formations, you come up with game plans, that sort of thing. Now, not that I want Celtic to treat league games like friendlies, of course not, but see, when you are that dominant domestically, and when you are already up 3 or 4 or 5 nil at a period of time in a game, I think if I was a manager, that I would be saying, right, second half, if we're already 3 goals up, what we're going to do is, I want to focus, I'm going to be paying particular attention to the defence. Now, I want you guys, as soon as that ball breaks, blah, 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 blah. So you're putting in a bit of practice. It's almost, you're using the second half of the game, or when you've got a foothold in the game, or you're playing against Dundee United when you know pretty much you're not going to get much of a test out of them, that you're using the best of your time on the pitch when the fans are in front of you to get your message across. And I think that needs to happen more. And I thought actually that it happened... I thought I was seeing it happen against Motherwell away a couple of weeks ago, in that Celtic were dominant, absolutely dominant in the first half, and then second half Motherwell actually started to come back into it. Now, at a point at the beginning of the game, I actually felt, and I've felt this a couple of times before, that Celtic almost sometimes afford the other team some possession of the ball. And I'm thinking, maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're thinking, right, do you know what? Don't press so much. If they've got the ball, let them have it for a wee period of time. Focus on your defence and really kind of organise yourselves. I think it was more a case of Celtic taking their foot off the gas and not really performing as well. But surely doing things like that, making the most of these games when you're already 3, 4, 5 up, is going to better prepare us for when we go and face a team like Mulder, who are going to set up the same way as a Scottish Premier League team, but have the quality to break on us.
Chris Bowd, who was... to blame most, was it the players or was it the manager against Mulder?
There's plenty of blame to go around, but as we said, there's not one player that performed well, so I think you've got to take a lot from that, giving the ball away repeatedly, and it's not as if we didn't have the ball. We had 69% of the possession. They just used it far better when he had it.
Conditions were the same for both teams as well. As much as we'll complain, their game plan maybe suited their game plan more in terms of, you know, them having just to sit in.
We said in the night as well, that's not, you can't use that as an excuse. It was a factor. There's no doubt that impacted how the guys could play. But you could see they released the ball even before it's touched the ground. It's went astray. So it wasn't just that people just weren't making the passes they should have been.
I think for any performance, if it's good or bad, responsibility in there, and this always with the manager. And there's no doubt that, you know, that defeat together with the Malmö defeat is a black mark against Ronnie. You can't get away from that.
Do you think there's been an overreaction?
I think people are, as they were after Malmö, in the full right to come out, as we said today, and said that was absolutely shit. Absolutely garbage, because it was. But then the other game, I just wish people sometimes would not do all these post-mortems just after a bad defeat in terms of, oh, it's over, it's gone, it's done. You have to, if you want to really evaluate where a club's going, where a manager's going, you have to do that over a longer term. Now, it's a big one in the minus column for Ronnie. Absolutely agree with that. But you tally those up after the season, in my view. In terms of, because the problems with Celtic isn't just with the manager. Problems in any clubs isn't just with the manager. And anybody who thinks that, as the whole narrative in British football is so much about, and any football is just change the manager, because he's always a scapegoat. But a manager's, if you really want to use a management speak, you know, his sphere of influence is always smaller than you think it is. So, and I think we had a question in terms of, does Ronnie need his... his support team, does he need them more? Is that why he's not doing it in a Celtic? I think it's more than that. Part of the reason why Ronnie was successful at Strømskulse was because Strømskulse is such a well-run club, where he was the most important bit of the machinery, but the whole machinery was going the same way. They all had the same purpose, the strategy, and everything. All the players were in the same way. So that's a huge reason to his success there. But that's the same in any club. any clubs who have successful has a certain strategy, a certain philosophy that I have to follow. So if you just get a new manager in, that doesn't solve the fundamental problems that Ronnie's brought in to solve. Doesn't mean that Ronnie is in the end the guy to solve those, but I think this, what they're trying to do is the right thing. Whether they're executing it is a different matter, but I think it goes deeper than the manager.
Two defeats in 9 games in Europe this season, it's not a bad record, is it?
No, but I think the Molde game, I thought the players and the manager, I didn't distinguish blame. I didn't portion the blame at all. I just saw them all as one, and it was probably, you know, one of the few times for me personally that it's been that easy, that you know, the whole
unit
thing, the whole unit, the whole team, from manager to players, everything equally was terrible on the night. It just didn't work, and it was awful.
Yeah,
and me personally, huge fan of Dyla and everything.
You love the, you love the D. I absolutely love the D.
But you know, slowly, recently, I've started to think to myself, you know, do I actually like Dyla's ideas more than I like
Dyla,
what I'm actually seeing in front of my eyes? Because, you know, he's
confused, he's about the D.
Aye.
Which is part of the problem.
He's spoken so much, and he is forthright. And I said this last week about, if you have a philosophy and you vocalise that, then it's easier to get knocked down for not achieving it. So I know what I would rather. I'm happy that he's got a philosophy, but at the same time, he needs to start delivering, and it has to be consistent, because having these shocking results, or, you know, playing one brilliant game like that game at the weekend, Celtic weren't tested, they weren't up against anything, they scored 5 goals, brilliant, 5-0 on paper looks brilliant, but let's face it, is that a huge positive, is that a huge plus in terms of the result? Not really. The main plus for me, that Dyla absolutely deserved praise for, which he didn't really get much for, was the fact that young Tierney was brilliant. He gave him his chance, he put him in, he played the full 90 minutes, and he got man of the match. Now that kid, that was Dyla's decision to put him in, and he deserves praise for that. But the inconsistency...
Well, is he be back in the team on Wednesday?
Well, this is a thing. But the inconsistency, maybe in the selection, although he's been challenged by that with the defence and things, he's not had much choice. And the inconsistency in performances, that he's got to get over that. He's been here, he's not a new manager anymore. He's had a season. You know, he came very close to getting the treble, which is great. But at the same time, you know, he has talked about how he wants to be measured on performances and development and developing a culture and all this. I'm starting to doubt whether we're actually seeing much of an improvement.
I think on young Tierney, the issue there now is he's still only 18. He can't play the rest of the games for this season, because that's, you can't do that to an 18-year-old. So while he may,
he doesn't have to. He just has to play 4 or 5 in a row and then rest him. Because see, the thing is, here you play him one and then you don't play him for another 10 games. That to me is just as bad as thing. Overplaying him. Bowd, were you surprised? Well, okay, sorry. Calm down, Christian. Jesus,
I wasn't even finished. Thank you. see, Big Effie though. See if he continues to pick Effie. He deserves his books. He should be sacked, because
Effie shouldn't be getting a game. But you look at, Boyata was injured. Lustig wasn't fit.
Janko, you mean?
Right, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, who do you play on right back?
How did you get him mixed up?
I just did.
Janko, yeah. That's the point, though. Like,
You're racist.
He didn't have anybody else to play right back.
I'd go 3 in the back. Don't play Effie. Just don't play Effie. You're not playing Effie. Stop it.
If you can say my piece on Ronnie before Bal comes in. I think that,
what about Effie?
I'll come to him after.
What about young Tierney? And the D?
The D. Let me talk about the D. Let me break it down to you.
Important point of fact I took from it was, though, your thought, oral D is fine, but it can't all be oral.
And practice.
D's, you need practice with the D. Go on, Christian.
What I think, as Louis touched about, what would be the real shame if his Dyla doesn't succeed while not trying to implement his philosophy 100%. So what I don't want him to do is go out with a whimper. Had he gone, you know, as we say, full dialer and just go absolutely his style, get comments out, he just certain style, just youth, exactly what he's what we think is philosophy. And if that doesn't you know, go, you know, hold your hands up, fair enough, at least you tried. Kind of this slightly pragmatic thing, we're trying to get comments in, is not quite doing a bit inconsistent here and there. If that fails, that's a bigger shame than if you just went for it and failed.
There's similarities between what Ronnie's trying to do and what AVB did when he first came into Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, he had Lampard and Terry and they were kind of almost undroppable. He didn't want to use them as part of the system, and again they chose the players over the manager. Chris, were you surprised by the sort of sack Ronnie movement that was kind of happening on Twitter? A lot of people calling him clueless and, you know, being really quite vicious in terms of the criticism for him. Were you surprised, or do you come expect that from modern day football fans?
Hugely surprised. We all get angry. I mean, in the pub, we were raging, to put it mildly.
Raging at the D. Raging at the D.
Yes. And there are, we've got quite a few questions relating to that. Fake Five Stars asking if Ronnie doesn't win his next three games, Hearts, Aberdeen, Molde, will his position be under threat? Ewan, MCF, if we exit Europa Group, will Ronnie get another shot next year? How many years away from the Champions League can the fans suffer? And Mark O'Brien was also asking if we would stick or twist at the end of this season.
I think with... you want to make your point first? Do you want to answer them?
Or? On you go, I forgot.
I think, you know, firstly, Daly doesn't get credit for last season. We got to the group stage, we got to the last 32 last season, and it's almost kind of completely underplayed. We were in Europe.
I went toe to toe with Inter. Yeah, two games.
Absolutely. We were in Europe past Christmas. Lennon didn't do that in his first two or three seasons. And I'm not in any way criticizing. Lennon had time, is my point. The fans gave Lennon more time because we had a lot of Utrecht was fucking brutal, remember? But the point being, I would stick with Ronnie no matter what happens this season.
When you ask if I'm surprised, I don't think I am, just because especially after a game like that, and we've said it was horrendous, you're going to have a reaction. However, first, even this Europa League run, we don't know how it's went. We don't know until it's over.
Yeah, we're only halfway through it. We're literally only halfway through it.
And Molde are the best team in that group right now.
Obviously, but... but it is
no they that, actually are the best team in the group. Christian, it's not
it is, but there's three big games coming up, and I don't think you can say qualify or not, keep your job or not. I think there's a lot to do with the performances you've seen in those three games, because it could go down to goal difference and a stroke of luck in the last game. But I think the way they perform in those three games will be important and should be important in judging Ronnie this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think if they don't fight and really take the game of Molde at home, then I think...
It's always the last game as well, because the first two games, away to Ajax, really good away performance in Europe. You know, they should have won that. Common silly free kick, Gordon, I still think should do better on that free kick. And then with Fenerbahce, like, completely destroy them for the first 40 minutes. And then Efe has his Efe thing.
Yeah.
And then they have a bad 20 minutes, but then they go on top again. So those two games, in large parts, had it not been for certain individual errors, is really, really good game against better teams from better leagues. And the last game now, which is inconsistent, is shite, but at least you can say you've had two good games and a bad one.
Two individual mistakes, and this could be a very different conversation.
But if you keep picking the people who are consistently making those individual mistakes, you're a mug for picking them.
But one of them was Chris Cummins.
That's what I think. Yeah. But you know, if you know this guy makes mistakes, don't play him. Don't play him in the important games.
Then again, against Fenerbahce, who would you play? Joseph was injured. Mulgrew was injured.
You need to change your system then. You need to change something. You need to be able to be flexible. But Effie Ambrose, he should not ever play for Celtic again. get him out.
I wish you could see his face.
Because I hate this whole...
It's because he's black.
Absolutely not. But the fact this whole, you know, Effie Ambrose Ballon d'Or rubbish, this kind of, he's held up as some kind of, you know, cult figure. He's terrible at football. You know, and yeah, he's a lovely guy. If I seen him walking down Sucky Hall Street,
I think
he would be a really nice guy. But he cannot play football. So see, if you're going to keep playing him and you're going to keep watching him make these mistakes that cost the team, then it should be on his head. It absolutely should be. If they don't really turn up against Mulder, I think things could escalate big time. I don't think they'll sack him because I think there is no alternative, and I think probably Lowell knows that. You would have to take a risk with another manager. You're not going to get an established name.
How do you know?
Because who are you going to have?
See that? Let's not get into that just now. Because there's plenty of managers who would come and manage Celtic. You didn't know who Ronnie Dyler was before, and look what he did last season.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. But
there are alternatives. Okay, we're not going to get Carlo Ancelotti, right? But we're still going to get a good manager. There's plenty of good managers.
Neil Lennon will be kicking about soon.
Well, Louis is saying he's the type of manager. So, because you're not going to be able to have a checkbook manager.
No, you're not.
Because you don't have the checks. You would have to go out and find another kind of runny and say, okay, yeah, this guy, we found the right guy.
I get that point, Hen. Sorry, Dallin.
But if you're an F. Ambrose fan, come down on the 23rd of November with Sweeney's and talk to Louis face to face.
Listen, see if Effie turns up himself, I'll shake his hand, tell him he's Ballon d'Or.
Just so you're aware, on the 90 Minutes Cynic Facebook.com/90MinutesCynic. We put up about the live podcast at Sweeney's on the Park on the 23rd. Kieran Connolly has tweeted, messaged and says, "The big Norwegian is getting hammered ...
In a good way?
With questions. So there you go. Look,
bring it on.
Have you got any further questions we can take? We're running out of time here.
Well, I was just going to quickly run over our other two poll questions. We had three polls.
Okay.
So, will Celtic qualify from the Europa League group? 50%.
Oh, are you serious?
Johnny, 50% no, points to fans.
Oh my God, that's 50%. Unbelievable.
50-50. That's down the line.
And then the poll is over as well, 50-50.
Yep, that's it, finished. And the final question, moving away from Celtic briefly, who will be the next Aston Villa manager? 35% believe it will be a proper British one. 65% believe it will be a foreign fancy dance.
Great stuff.
I think that's probably right.
All foreigners are fancy dance.
You know, we can pick up on, you know, where we are in terms of Mulder and stuff.
The final point I make about the Europa League is just remember when that group was drawn. If you had any other thought, then
it's a Champions League group.
Ah, Christ. Look at that group. That's a tough group.
That is.
Just because we thought Mulder would be the whipping boys of it, and it turns out they've actually got a bit about them.
They've got a bit about them.
Doesn't mean that we need to go into crisis mode.
Yeah. So I mean, we can come to that. We've Celtic, as we said, we've got Wednesday. It's the Hearts game, which is tomorrow. If you're listening to this on the Tuesday. And then we've got Aberdeen.
What if you're listening to it on a Wednesday?
It's today.
Jeez, oh.
Hey!
No hoops.
If you're listening to it on Thursday, it was yesterday.
Oh, I hope it was a good one.
That's awesome. We've got
Will you still be hungover?
Probably.
We've got Aberdeen on Saturday. Are you nervous about that? Or do you think...
Oh, they're shite, mate. You seen them?
I think of those three games, for me, it's the one you can not have a bad result in, but I think if you choose two to win, you would go with Hearts and Mulder for me.
Oh, yeah. All night long.
With Aberdeen, that'll be, if let's just say, for example, Celtic win, or even just does a draw, that'll be their sixth game without a win. He's racking up the non-victories, Derek McInnes. Does he get enough criticism, Louis?
Aye. How's your name, apples? No. I don't really care about Derek McInnes, to be honest with you. But I'm more interested in the cup tie against the Hearts at Tynecastle on Wednesday, tomorrow, or yesterday, whatever day you're listening. Yeah, it could be Friday. Oh, you never know. People might listen to this on Friday. Maybe over the weekend. I don't know.
Hope you're having a good one anyway.
Absolutely. We're in Sweeney's. One along.
We're in Paris, me and Bowd.
You're both going to Paris?
Well,
this is the worst thing I've ever heard. Anyway, we'll get there later. The thought of you in Paris is just taking me off my stride. Yeah, I think the game against Hearts at Tynecastle, I think, would be pretty interesting.
Proper cup tie. An aggressive atmosphere.
I think Hearts...
Oh, you know, the fans, Hearts fan, are just, you know...
But it's a huge opportunity for Hearts, you know. I think...
Would you play young Tierney in an atmosphere like that? Probably.
Absolutely. I'd play him in every single game over Izaguirre any day of the week.
Would you play him at right back?
I'd play him left and right back.
In place of Effie?
I'd play a three at the back. No Effie, no Ambrose.
McGuinness.
No Effie or Ambrose.
McGuinness.
What? No.
What?
Okay. He wants to talk about McGuinness once I'm finished.
Okay.
Anyway, so...
Get yourself comfortable.
I think it's a massive big opportunity for Hearts. I think they'll fancy their chances against us.
It's a huge opportunity for a flying ointment for the D's season.
Slap in the D around, that's what will be happening.
How good would it be to go there and window in front of those fans?
Has he had a bigger week? Those three games?
With the game we've just had?
I don't know. I think the week. Maybe the Dundee week, playing your rivals,
inverted commas, for the league, and you've got to put in a performance against Molde in Europe.
I think it's a good test.
I think they usually
rises to those challenges.
The D usually always rises.
I was going to say, no, McGuinness. Let's go back to McGuinness.
Okay, yeah.
The other D.
As we said last time, Derek McGuinness shouldn't be held to the same, you know, criteria as Ronnie Dyle last. Aberdeen shouldn't be held to the same criteria as Celtic. However, the question is in the balance. He should be held to some sort of criteria. Allegedly, he's now not won in five games. I'm actually quite certain he hasn't. Yeah. And the way they've just dropped off the face of the earth has just been
dropped off the face of the earth, Cam. Jesus.
Metaphorically. It's been shocking. And I think he's been lucky this week that it's been all about Celtic. As in a way you would understand, because Celtic is obviously more box office and all that. But if they do win against Celtic, okay, if everything's probably fine again. If they lose, you know, it'll be interesting to see how far they're going to fall before they start rising again.
You need the D to rise, don't you, Chris?
Absolutely. I had a lot of problems with that in the past.
Aberdeen and Motherwell and Aberdeen drew at the weekend. The other results in the SPFL, Scottish Premiership, Dundee lost to Kilmarnock. Hearts won against Ross County, which buggered Mark Coopin. Inverness get defeated by St Johnstone, which also buggered my coupon. And Thistle drew with Hamilton. Celtic are now, how many points? We're 4 points behind. If, let's say Celtic beat Aberdeen, that'll be 7. That's a big swing. That's a 12-point swing.
It was 5 points 4 games ago.
Yeah.
So it's a 9-point swing in 4 games. So
it's pretty big.
It's a big swing.
It's a big swing. What are you guys looking at?
Well, I wanted to look at, in terms of, maybe we should have maybe done it a bit early, in terms of the Dundee United game, was the Green Brigade's banner as well.
Okay, yeah.
About, let's see, this Offensive Behaviour Act.
Yeah.
Saying basically, look, SNP, get your act in order and get this bill over and done with. And again, I think I'm a big fan of mixing politics and sports.
Football, yeah.
But this is also a bill that,
we don't do that in Glasgow, Christian.
You should do it more, I think. It's a bill that basically just targets football fans. It's used indiscriminately by police, and we've seen this in so many examples that, you know, this isn't about, you can do, it's not about in rugby games or in hockey games. This is about football fans.
Yeah.
It's a liberal
victimization.
Bill.
It's wrong.
Something that, okay, we've, you know, there's probably a good independents supporting this room, but the SNP does not equal independence and criticism of the SNP. Not to get too political, you know, you have to get over that in terms of if you're a football fan of any club, no matter your political persuasion, this is a shitty bill and people should be making noise about it, and they should, unless they make noise about it, football fans is just going to be kept targeting like this.
Hats off to the Green Brigade. We went to the FAQ the Bill in the George Square. There was a movement. When was that, by the way? Two years ago?
Aye.
Yeah.
You two were literally just walking through George Square and having to pop off.
No, we didn't, because we followed the procession afterwards to Parkhead.
Tunnels of 40s and all.
Tunnels. But no, we're absolutely against all of it, and it's terrific that the Green Brigade, you know, I've criticised them in the past, but they do a lot in terms of...
And I can't find the question now, but it's just a question about whether, yeah, it's from Clancy C06, if the need for fans to wear GoPro or hidden cameras to game to highlight injustice from... I presume that's the football office. What's the Focus stand for?
Focus is like the
football division of the police.
Yeah, they go around and again, they film you, and you know, if you are offensively behaviour.
I mean, it's probably a lot of people who go to more football matches to me, but whenever I go, I'm always struck by the level of policing. I remember for some random reason I went to see Stockport Leeds a few years ago, but just the amount of policing down there as well, just in your face, filming you from 2 yards away. And all I was doing was going to see Stockport play football. And it's just that when you create an environment like that, where you feel like you're doing something wrong when you're not doing it, you just, even though you're not doing it, even though you're a law-abiding citizen, when you get something like that from the police up you, you kind of go, you know what? Fuck off.
Yeah.
It actually just turns you... It's a hard word to describe, but you just kind of feel like, you know what, if you're going to be like that, it's not an excuse to do anything, but it's like a pressure
cooker.
It's like kettling, it's a pressure cooker where you kind of just push and push and push.
You're provoked. You get
you're provoked, and then you get a reaction, you say, oh, it's football fans.
Yeah.
If you'd done that to like, you know, a rugby game or something like that, it'd be uproar. It'd be absolute uproar. What it comes down to is... Rugby fans are upstanding middle-class citizens. Football fans are working-class hooligans.
I love this side of Christian. Go on, son.
I'm also manist here, so I have to like raise the red flag. But that, in the essence, you can strip it down. That's what the bill is about, and that's what the treatment of fans in so many ways, even the alcohol thing, is about. So, you know, take that.
Yeah. Fack the bill.
Aye.
Exactly.
Right.
Well,
fack off.
You know, that's something, if we do ever do a feature podcast again, Christian, we can talk about...
If it ever happens again, hey. Christian.
Hey, the SFA is trying to stop us from doing one, but we'll get one through by now. Stop being lazy and actually organising.
Just rounding up here, because we're past the 90 minutes. Celtic
extra time.
Celtic considering a nazzle.
Fergie time.
Celtic considering a nazzle franchise and possibly one in Asia. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think Boston Celtics. Sounds good.
It's just confusing. Confusing.
Bolton Celtics.
I think it's a great idea. I think...
In St. Louis, I reckon.
Your money's all that money's.
Your money's money.
Go do the capitalism thing. Fine. You know, but, you know, put it into cheaper ticket prices. There you go.
Carlton Cole officially signing. Louis, happy with that?
Oh, looks like a great guy, Louis.
He seems like a smart...
What was he looking like walking down the Soak Hill Street?
Oh, smooth operator, man. He was just striding the...
Lovely guy.
Lovely guy.
You know, lovely guy. Okay, I'm happy to give him a wage.
Right.
Hi.
Give him a wage. Give him a few notes.
Use our American franchise to pay off.
Celtic, Chris Bowd's rundown, just as we finish, we're having to kind of go through it. Chelsea are shit.
Yeah, I agree with that. I did write it.
And it's great.
Chelsea are the worst.
Tim Sherwood. It's great. It just says Tim Sherwood sacking.
Oh,
he's an...
I was going to say, I told you so, but then pretty much everybody said that he's shit and he's going to be sacked. So.
Juventus starting to come good, correct? That's very true. Good for you. And AOB, which I assume means any other business.
AOCB. Any other concluding business?
No.
No.
You shouldn't.
Me and Bell worked in the private sector. We know about all the acronyms and
guys,
the management talk.
Oh, we'll set you up with a meeting anytime you want, pal. Send you a memo about it.
We're done.
Really? That went quick.
Yeah, 1 hour, 34 minutes.
Are we sticking to the 90-minute thing now?
We are trying to stick to it.
Wait, I mean, you're ruining it right now.
Okay, fair enough.
The format of 90 minutes is all went Pete talking about.
Do we have our own Hell Hill Media account, iTunes account?
We do. We've got our own Spreaker account. It's Spreaker.
Oh, I meant Spreaker.
So not Hell Hill Media.
What happened to the iTunes?
It's still uploading. It takes time. It takes a week or so. So hopefully it should be up.
That is a lie.
No, it's not.
It's a goddamn lie.
That's the truth.
It takes about 10 to 12 days. Honestly, it does. It takes about 10 to 12 days.
I'll be worth it.
So hopefully the iTunes...
So don't update the flipboard just yet.
You want the right details on the flipboard?
Yeah, on the Instagram. But yeah, so we're on Spreaker. Spreaker.com/the90minute cynic. We're also obviously on Hail Hail Media as well. You can catch us on Hail Hail Media. At 90 Minute Cynic is the Twitter handle. Facebook.com/90minutecynic. 90minutecynic.com is the website. We've had some really great features. Christian, your feature is obviously still up about going full Ronnie. A lot of interest in that. 23rd of November, we're going to keep punting it. 23rd of November, Sweeney's on the park.
Sweeney's, the Sween boats.
Sweenmeister General.
If we get double digits in attendance, I think that's a success.
Yes. Hopefully. Well, come along.
It's 4 hours, we only need 6 hours.
It's free. And
they go to the jukebox.
And they do a lovely pint of porter, which I'll be...
It's free to walk into the
pub. Yeah, there's no
free.
You
have to pay for
your
own
booze. Buy you a drink.
We're also going to be hanging out afterwards for just... If you want to come and hang out with us, I don't know why you would, but...
On a Monday night.
On a Monday night. But 23rd of November, mark it in the bloody diary. Get involved.
Jesus. I'm not coming now just because you said that.
No, yeah, we'll punt it over and over. Christian Wolf, the Wolfman.
Good to be here. Good to have bowed back.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a good session today. Good metaphorically group hug.
Should we
think
not?
It's good.
This just feels like off-air talk.
Is it not?
Yeah. Okay. Chris Bowd?
Yep, that's me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Louis McCaffrey?
Have somebody's favourite.
I've been terrific.
You have. I've been Chris Gallagher, and we'll speak to you down the road.
Just what